And here he is. JT Snow is here, everybody. All right. All right. All right. 808 KMBR. Sam, you're on KMBR 680. Go ahead.
Hello, Marty. How you doing?
We're doing great today. How are you?
Oh, great, Marty. Hey, look, I got the home run hitter that we need, but I'd just like to say one thing. We're not going to out-hit Cincinnati, so we got to have some pitching. We got to get Madison to go out there and do his job like he did in 2010.
Right.
With them holding the Cincinnati down, we will get our boys, our regulars, Posey, our second baseman, who I call the professional, he will get his hit. And then Pagan needs to help a little bit, too, because he's getting a little bit light on the bat.
Sure.
So we get those guys to hit, and then we can get them on base. We get Belt to come up there, and Belt will hit a home run.
All right,
win
Sam.
The game for us.
All right, good one. Hey,
good call from Sam.
That's a good call from Sam. Hey, JT, he's got Belt hitting the big home run. We did this yesterday, and someone had Posey.
Right.
And we made a winner out of that. And we're doing this. Sam, thanks for the call. Sam in Sacramento, he's got Belt today.
You've got a 1 in 9 chance, right?
Correct. That's one way to look at it. But how about your guy? Come on, Belt is your guy.
And yeah, he is.
How about his catch?
Ah, sweet.
Now,
great.
You've made great plays, really. Did you ever go head over heels like that?
Absolutely.
You did? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I was upset that none of the Giants fans tried to catch him when he went over.
I know.
Yeah,
yeah,
really.
They all moved to the side, and he actually landed on his hip pretty hard.
God.
He came back in. But, yeah, great catch if you watch the replay. Wotus and I were talking about it during the game. He came up in the clubhouse, and a little bit of drifting to the rail, and you see that a lot. When guys drift a little bit, when they catch it, their momentum hits the railing, they go over, as opposed to putting your head down, running hard to the railing, being set, and then you can reach over. But great catch. I mean, taking nothing away from him. But you always got to find something to work on, right?
You said it yesterday, and I remember you were talking about getting people in the flow of the game right away.
Right.
How about him getting in the flow of the game right away?
Absolutely. So, and then, just missed that one.
Ripped it.
The one double down the line that Bruce hit. I mean, that's just a matter of inches. And, and then he hits a ball right on the screws, and he hits it right at Votto, and he catches it. So, Giants hit some balls hard yesterday that were caught, and one of the things that I noticed with some of the other coaches was we noticed how deep the Cincinnati Reds outfielders were playing. They're playing deeper than any team that played here, and their whole goal is to keep everything in front of them. The ball Matt Cain hit the one inning, goes up first. He hit that ball hard. There's Hunter Pence hit a couple balls good. So, it's over and done with. I love Matt Cain's quote in the paper. It's nothing we can do about it. It's over, and we'll get them tomorrow. So I don't even remember. Did they play a game yesterday? I don't even remember.
Well, it ended. Yes, they did.
Yeah, they did.
No,
yes.
But, you bring up a good point, because when Hunter Pence hit the ball, and here's Jay Bruce again. Now, Jay Bruce, couldn't figure out where the track was, remember? And that suddenly,
yes,
but
yes.
He was so far, I thought of it, he was so far back.
Yeah.
I said, boy, he's got it figured out. I didn't realize he had started that far back.
Yeah, they're deep. And when you're playing the outfield and if you're not playing deep, especially at this park with all the room in the outfield, you ask any outfielder, when there's a ball hit and you keep running, and there's no warning track, then it starts to mess with your head a little bit because you're wondering how much farther you have to run when the warning track's coming up and where the fence is. And that's what happened with him that one time earlier in the year when he was here.
Yeah.
I think he got on the track and he thought the fence was closer than it was, and that's why he jumped and missed the ball. So this ballpark, especially in the outfield, can really get into your head.
Well, great insight. Boy, good insight,
good
JT.
Stuff from
good
JT.
Insight from JT. Watch the Reds outfielders tonight. Good stuff.
Yeah, they were playing deep last night.
Okay.
They want to keep everything in front of them, get to the gaps, cut it off. Don't let a double turn into a triple.
All right, we'll take a quick break. 808 KMBR. Before we do that, Pat, JT, don't say the answer here.
Right.
But we're giving away two more tickets. We're doing this every half hour. Someone's going to be very happy.
Going to the game tonight, Marty.
Going to the game tonight. So, Pat, go ahead.
Okay,
take it away.
Marty, great trivia question here. Bochy has managed the Giants for, this is his sixth season. How many NL West titles have the Giants won under his tenure? 415-478-KNBR. The first one to get with Raff and correctly identify the answer to that question is going to tonight's game. And I got to do the little tagline here. I'll be quick, Marty. Of course, these pair of tickets to the MLB Division Series between the Giants and the Reds are up for you. 478-KNBR. tickets are courtesy of MasterCard. We'd like to thank everyone in the Bay Area for raising $4 million for Stand Up to Cancer and their Dine to Be Generous program. MasterCard, proud sponsor of Major League Baseball. 478 KNBR.
Terrific. All right, great crowd at the Public House. You guys are starting to show up. Hawaiian Airlines contest, too. Don't forget about that. JT Snow is here, as gracious as ever. Good to have him with us, and good baseball insight. More coming up right here from the Public House on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
KNBR 680.
Beautiful day at the Public House. Game 2 of this National League Division Series coming up. Let's hear it for the Public House.
Yeah.
And being out here today. Wow.
Can't beat it, Marty.
I'll tell you, the crowd here yesterday got me crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly. And, JT, the crowd during the game maybe not quite as vocal. How do you explain it?
I think they were waiting for something. They had some opportunities. That's the way – it's hard in baseball for the crowd just to start cheering for – you know, I mean, maybe at the beginning of, say, the ninth inning to get you going or – but they're waiting for something. It takes a little spark. It takes a leadoff double. It takes – and – it's hard on defense. If a guy makes a great play, they get up. But it's more the offensive part of the game where, you know, we felt it when Posey hit the home run yesterday. And they wanted to get going. They had a chance. And that the one at bat that Blanco had, you know, they were trying to get it going. And that one at bat didn't turn out the way that everybody wanted. But, you know, it happens. It's baseball, you know. Matt Cain didn't mean to hang a curveball or hang a changeup to Bruce or to Phillips.
Yeah.
It happens. That's why this is such a great game. Cause,
and every day is another day.
Every day. And
yeah, really.
You know, at the beginning of the year, they say it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. But it's a sprint right now.
Sure.
Now it's a sprint. You better have your track shoes on.
Yeah, Alex Pavlovich said it. He said there's only five of these, meaning five games.
Absolutely.
And each game is critical.
Well,
there's only five.
You look at it now, and if you look at the big picture, the Giants have to win three out of four.
That's right.
It's a four-game series. Yep. But you know what? The players don't think like that. They just think about today. When you start thinking about winning one, then pretty soon you look up and it's hard to think like that. Oh, we got to win three out of four now. You got to win tonight. And Madison Bumgarner is, for me, the key to the game tonight.
Yeah.
Needs to go out there and take it deep into the game and shut that offense down with the rest.
JT, Marty, this young lady over here just showed a tweet from Andrew Baggerly, our KNBR insider, that said that they've announced that Vogelsong will start in Cincinnati on Tuesday.
All right.
Which you had surmised that is what you thought would happen.
Yeah, I said that a few days ago, for whatever reason. Okay, JT Vogie and Vogelsong in Cincinnati, what's your take on that?
I like it. I think that, I think they were waiting to maybe see how yesterday played out. And I actually knew that Vogelsong was pitching as of yesterday and the day before, but you can't, you know, I'm in a tough spot because I'm with the club and then I come on with you guys and I can't, out of respect to Boach in the front office, you can't say anything, but. I think it's a good pick, and we went back to that yesterday where you have a righty, Cain going game one, now a lefty, now you got a righty.
Yeah, you said that yesterday
going game
for us.
Three, so,
yeah, when we kicked around Zito or Vogelsong, you said you wanted the righty in the game three.
I feel comfortable with Vogelsong going. I feel confident that, you know, he's a veteran guy that can throw strikes and locate his pitches, keep the ball down in that ballpark, and, you know, and then they'll wait for tonight to play out, and then if it's, tonight – is a huge game, right? Game twos are always big. You're either up one or down one, and then it can go either way. So they'll wait and see after tonight how it goes. And if they're 1-1, they got Vogie going game three, they might wait to announce game four and so on. So,
all right. Vogelsong, game three. All right, we learned it right here on KMBR. All right, let's go to the phones. Marcy in Marin. Marcy, you're on KMBR 680. Pat is here. JT Snow. Everyone live here at the Public House. Go ahead, Marcy.
What's up, Marcy?
Oh, it's Angel Pagan that's going to hit the home run first, definitely.
All right. Boy, this is all over. I like this.
Very diverse.
All over the place. And what's your key to the game, Marcy?
The key to the game is getting on base early. I think absolutely in the first inning. I agree, we need to pump up the crowd. I was really disappointed last night. That's not my AT&T Park crowd.
I think Marcy knows what she's talking about. That's what I was going to say. For me, the key to the game is, number one, is Bumgarner, obviously. Starting pitching always is. But the guys at the top of the order got to get on base. And there's no time like the beginning of the game, first inning, come out, Angel get on, Scudero get on, move them over, and score some runs early. So a good solid start by Bumgarner and that top of the order getting on base and causing some havoc on the base pass.
Are you coming to the game, Marcy?
I wish I was. I have two little boys, and I'm going to watch it at home with them. They're huge Giants fans.
All right. Well, we root for Pagan, and maybe you'll get a dinner for two or three. Maybe we'll have the whole family go to Original Joe's.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. All right. Patrick in Vallejo. You're on KMBR 680. Go ahead, Pat.
Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Very well.
Good. Good. Yeah, I think it is going to be Pence that hits a home run there.
Okay.
And I do like Marcy's key to the games. I do think it's always going to be the pitching, number one. And then number two is obviously your early guys getting on base. But I think everybody taking good at-bats is going to be the main key to the game to get into the pitcher's head early.
All right.
Let me ask you this, Pat, and you seem to know what you're talking about here. Where do you see the game turning today? In other words, what part of the game you say, okay, the Giants are going to get this thing done?
And I'm going to guess that that's probably going to be right around the fourth inning, and that's going to determine at that point if they've gotten into the pitcher well enough or not.
All right. All right. One time, JT, one. Thanks, Pat. Thank you. Did you give us a home run?
Problem. Yeah, Pence, I believe.
Pence is your home run. Okay, thanks, Pat. Thank you. Arroyo's one of those. You know Arroyo.
Right.
What is it with him? 46 homers in 2011, 26 right. This year. What do you have to do with Arroyo?
Wait for a good pitch. Wait him out. Get what you're looking for. If a guy has numbers like that, it probably means he's going to make a mistake somewhere if he's giving up some home runs. And this is a different ballpark. It's not Cincinnati. But, you know, especially in the postseason, offensively, when you get pitches to hit, you got to hit them hard. You can't foul them off. You can't swing and miss them. And I like their chances. I think they wait him out. They be patient with him, and they wait. You know, guys can go up and have a Marco Scudero type at bat, make him throw some pitches. The more pitches you can see, the better chance you are having making good contact, maybe hitting one out of the ballpark. So for me, that's
get pitch count up, wait him out, get the pitch you want.
I think one of the other keys tonight is watch Bumgarner against Brandon Phillips at the top of the lineup, because to me, watching the game last night, he's a guy that looks awfully comfortable in the batter's box.
Yeah.
He's a guy that watches stance. He's got a real wide stance. His feet are real wide. He doesn't lunge at balls. And every swing, he seems to be right on the ball. So maybe Bumgarner's got to come inside, move his feet, you know, throw one up under his chin and go down at his back foot. Because we were saying that last night watching the game with a lot of the coaches and some of the scouts. He looks awful comfortable. You don't see any off balance or flinching or lunging at bad pitches. So to me, he's a key. Bumgarner, go at him. First at bat, move his feet. Make him jump out of the way of a pitch. Pound him hard inside and keep that guy off the bases.
Good. Oh, great insight. Boy,
player.
Great insight from JT.
Yep.
Yeah, very good. Lisa in San Jose, you're on KMBR 680. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. I first want to thank you for many enjoyable listening hours.
Oh, you're welcome.
I want to thank Lisa for the best phone line we've ever had on KMBR. Thank you, Lisa.
Very good.
Okay. Wow.
And I wanted to suggest that maybe it's not a lack of confidence in Lincecum as much as it is that they want Posey behind the plate and the bats of Posey and Belt. I wondered if you had a comment about that.
Well, let me ask JT that. Why not Lincecum here?
I think you got to go with your best pitcher at that time for game three. I don't think it matters who's catching, or it all starts on the mound.
Okay.
And
okay.
For me, it's your best chance of winning with that pitcher, and the coaching staff and the front office feels that Vogelsong gives them that chance. So I'm not too caught up in the pitching-catching dynamic. It's the guy that gives you the best chance, and right now they think it's Vogie.
Okay. All right, Lisa, you want to throw in a pick here for a home run today?
I hope it's Belt.
Belt, okay. Two for
sure.
Belt. That's all right, Lisa, thank you so much. Good phone voice, huh?
That was beautiful. It was just crystal clear.
Christy yesterday, Pat.
Oh, man, she's
Come on.
Great.
I hope she comes back today.
The nurse from UCSF.
Yeah, no, we're going to make her – I'm going to make her a co-host on one of the shows. She was great. Very
yeah,
good.
Yeah, that was good.
And we had someone yesterday who just took over the show.
Nice.
Complete confidence. I mean, honestly – You know, Pat, for the first time, Pat was, like, speechless.
I was just kicking back, Jack, just doing my thing. Hey, while we're doing something here, Marty, Raph gave me the name of the winner. Michael Torres correctly identified two National League West titles for Bruce Bochy and the Giants since he's been here. And so he's coming to Will Call, and he's going to get tickets to tonight's game courtesy of MasterCard. We still have one more pair to give away within the next 30, 45 minutes.
Fabulous. Thanks, Pat. Elaine in Sacramento. Elaine, you're on KMBR 680. Go ahead.
Hi, Elaine.
We're going to be listening to you on our way to San Francisco.
Terrific.
We're going out there. Yeah, we were actually just out there for another sports event yesterday, but somebody offers us tickets today, and we couldn't pass it up. We have to pump up the crowd.
Fabulous. Now, are you coming down already? Are you driving down already?
Yeah, we're just starting out now.
Perfect. All right, now what's your take on today's game? Give me a key to the game and a home run hitter.
Well, I say key to the game is that Bumgarner has to pitch through the seventh inning, and a home run hitter, I'm going for Pence. I think he's overdue.
All right. And Pence, by the way, JT, Pence has numbers against Arroyo.
Uh-huh.
12 for 35 with two homers.
That's pretty good. And I guarantee you Pence knows that, and I guarantee Arroyo knows that.
Sure.
And if you get into a situation where he has a chance to do some damage, open base, he'll probably walk him or try to make him get himself out, make him go, you know, go fishing. And
yeah.
Those guys know those numbers. They mull them over, and they're pretty good with them.
Good pick, Elaine. Have a safe trip down.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Molly in Roseville, 808 KMBR. Molly, you're on KMBR 680. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to say I'm so pulling for Posey for that home run or two today.
All right. You got Posey. And, boy, we've had good – I want to tell you something. You know, I have to do keys to the game on the pregame. I'm going to let everybody do it today. I'm going to – you guys are giving me all the keys to the game. What are your keys to the game today?
Ha, they've got to get some attitude, and they need to get some support from the fans.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, JT, let me ask you this. And Molly, you know, is one of the fans, and like all of us, we watch a game where you don't hit a lot.
Right.
It looks like you're not trying.
Well, they're trying.
I know.
They're trying.
My point is, to say get attitude, you got to play the game. That's
people have to remember this. When the Giants are up there hitting or the Giants are pitching, the other team is getting paid to do a job, too. It's so that the Giants are hitting. The guy in the mound has got a job to do, too, and he's making it tough. You know, and it's a tough game. It's not like they're not trying sometimes.
Yeah.
You can get a little mental, maybe overthink it or look for too many pitches, or I think that's what happened with Blanco last night. I think he got pounded inside, and I think with two strikes, he was looking inside. But with two strikes, you got to expand the zone and be ready to attack any pitch that's shown up there. And that last pitch kind of ran down and away, and it froze him. He couldn't get a swing off. But it's a hard game. You got the best teams playing in the playoffs right now. And I was going to say, to back up how hard this game is we saw, if everybody saw the first pitch last night, we saw an NFL quarterback who's one of the best in the world, and he bounced it to home plate.
How about
right?
That? Come on, how about that?
That just goes to show you how, I mean, you put that guy out in front of that crowd on that mound.
Yeah.
And something he's not used to doing, and he bounced. And the funny thing was, in the dugout, everyone was going up to him saying, don't bounce it, don't bounce it.
Oh, man.
And he threw a 55-footer. So.
Well, JT, you know 49er fans would have had a snarky comment prior to last year's performance from Alex.
Sure.
But it is tough. It's I you know, even lowly radio guys to go out there and try and
–
it is intimidating as
is.
Heck. Scary.
Hey, I've been in the fantasy camp. Let me try throwing a ball 60 feet, 6 inches.
Ugh.
You got to go high and away. Let me tell you. You try to throw it to the plate, you're never going to make it. You got to go high and away.
Next time the fans are watching a game and the guy's struggling, he can't throw strikes. He's trying, but it doesn't work out.
Remember, Pat, we had this discussion earlier this year. I said, you know, I look at shortstops, and you played with Vizquel,
right.
Great shortstops,
yep.
Great arms. Sean Dunstan, watch him throw.
Right.
I said, I watch the shortstops here. They go in the hole, and they throw the ball jumping. Now, they're throwing it about 120 feet.
Mm-hmm.
That's 40 yards.
Right.
Can an NFL quarterback throw the ball any better or any more accurately 40 yards down the field than a major league shortstop? And I thought of that last night with Alex Smith, who couldn't throw it 60 feet. With a baseball.
Right, and the thing with baseball is the guy's not moving. You have to throw it to a stationary target.
That's
in
right.
Football, you can lead a guy. You can throw it 5 yards offline.
And
he can adjust. Or you
That's
can throw
right.
it 5 yards behind and he can adjust. In baseball, you got to throw it into a little window, and the guy's not moving.
Unless they got you. See, if they have you, they just got to get in the area code.
I used to tell the guys, just get it close, and that's my job. Get it close and let me work with it. And that's that's how Belt is, too. He's a big guy over there. It's always nice to have a big target first, and then it's also nice to give your infielders confidence
sure.
and know that they don't have to throw a perfect throw every time. And I always said, first baseman's got the biggest glove on the field, so we should be able to make all the catches. And it's our job.
Yes, it is. You did it very well. Let's take one more here. Steve on 101. Steve, you're on KMBR 680. Go ahead.
Hi, Marty. Hi, JT.
How's it going?
How are you?
We're doing well. Just quickly, JT, you're my wife's all-time favorite Giant, so I just thought I'd let you know that.
Do you get that a lot, JT?
No.
Come on, I think JT
does.
You
got 30 people lined up here.
Yeah,
what are you talking
I know.
About?
Go ahead. The ladies love JT. Well,
thank you. Tell her thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome, JT. I agree with you. I think setting pitching is always a key, but I think the other keys to today's game, a lot of people have said fouls, and I agree with that. Just the focus on one ball that led to the double play. But I think Pence would be the other key. He's coming close, and if he could just get a little bit more selective on his pitches, then I think he could really be a big impact.
All right, so your home run, who'd you pick for the home run?
I'll go with Pence today.
Pence? Okay, hey. Another for Pence.
Sure.
Okay, 12 for 35 with a couple off for Royal. Okay. All right, have a safe drive down, Steve.
Okay, thanks, gentlemen.
All right, that's Steve on 101. Boy, good. I like this. You know, I like this picking the home run guy.
It's good.
I really do, and because someone will hit one. I mean, against the Royal, chances are something's going to happen today. Bumgarner, hope. And I say, you know, I like the question we asked also, when is the game going to turn around? I want to talk to you about this when we come back.
Okay.
Because watching the bullpen of the Reds yesterday, different than what the Giants do.
Right.
It's you got the seventh, you got the eighth, you got the ninth. I don't care who's coming up. And we'll expand on this just a little bit.
That's old school.
I think this is going to be the story of this series, how this thing's going to play out. All right, JT Snow here with us. Patrick, we got our Hawaiian Airlines contest. Beautiful day, game two coming up. A big one for the Giants tonight. We'll get your calls, we'll get your picks on our home run contest right here. And we got two more tickets to give away. All Hawaiian Airlines as well. Sign up for our contest right here on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
Patrick Hunter here with JT Snow and my good friend Marty Lurie hanging out in the public house patio. A lot of baseball news coming down, Marty. I think you got something out of Colorado.
Yeah, and Jim Tracy, JT, out of Colorado. Resignation.
Wow, he resigned, huh?
Yeah. I think his coaching staff was going or something. I mean, sometimes when that happens, manager says, well, if they're going, I'm going.
Okay. He's getting waiting for Tulowitzki to stay healthy. Maybe that's his deal, you know?
He made some pretty interesting comments, too, in the papers coming down the stretch about his team and their ability and or lack thereof. And I know when they were here in San Francisco, he had made a comment about, we're putting our team up against, you know, we got to go up against that team.
Sure.
You know, and that's never good as a player if you read that and you know that your manager doesn't have your back. So maybe it's time to go. Another job opens up.
Yeah, Ron Wotus.
Ron Wotus.
I said, Wotus, I'm going to get you this job, or at least I'll get you a raise. Because the owners are listening. Come on, Alan Beyer, you're out there. Give Wotus a raise. Come on.
Yeah, that would kill the Sunday morning interviews you do with Wotus.
We'll do it from Colorado.
All right,
I don't mind
all
right. that. Ron Wotus should be managing. Right, JT? Yeah. He should be managing a club somewhere.
He has a capability. He's come along. I've known Ron a long time when I came over, and he was our third base coach, and then he was a bench coach, and he'd manage in the minor leagues for a long time.
Yeah.
And you know, you spend that long as a bench coach and under Dusty and then Felipe and now Boach. I mean, those guys pretty solid. He's come a long way too. He first started, he was a little tight, you know, he was a little worried about things, and he's relaxed, and his communication with guys is great. He's a good infield instructor, and he's done a great job. So you just got to keep plugging away, and hopefully it's all timing, right? Right place at the right time.
And you got to have an angel. Someone who digs what you do.
Exactly. Gotcha.
And that's the deal. And that's why Tracy's out. New general manager, someone new. Dan O'Dowd is still there, but they've reorganized that, and someone else is now and taking over that.
The other thing is when you come from a winning organization, that people want to hire you because you've had success. There's not a lot of guys that get hired from a losing organization. So
that's a good
he
point.
Knows he's been around. The Giants are one of the top organizations in baseball, and anybody that's under Saves or Boach is going to have some pretty good credentials.
Yeah, so Wotus should get a shot. So go ahead, Ron Wotus, come
on. Let's do it.
Let's hear it for Ron Wotus, too. Huh?
Give some love to Wotus.
Come on. You know, really. And I love having him on Sunday morning. He's been fabulous with us. We ought to get him to the fantasy camp sometimes. You know that?
Yeah.
He would be
he
great.
May,
Wouldn't
may
he be good
stop,
down there?
Yeah, he might not stop laughing.
Also, Marty, just a heads up for people that are curious about the Nationals-Cardinals. Going to the top of the ninth, Nationals up 3-2.
Wow, they were 2-1 down, right?
Yeah, they were. So they've come back. So it's going to be a tight one here. Ian Desmond having a heck of a ball game, 3 hits for the Nationals. So that's how it's looking between the Nats and the Cardinals. And that could be the Giants. Obviously, that would be one of those would be the next opponent for the Giants.
Ryan Vogelsong against the Reds, 13 innings pitched, 10 hits, 6 earned runs, 3 walks, 10 strikeouts. The Giants have won both of his starts, but his last three, 17 innings, 12 hits, 1 run, 3 walks, 15 strikeouts.
Yeah.
You know, you watch
go with the hot hand.
Yeah, you watch that, and that explains what happens. Hey, let's go to Corey on a cell. Corey, you're on KNBR 680. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks, guys. Hey, real pleasure to be on with you guys. Two quick keys to the game. First, Giants need to do what they did all second half, and that's get the key hit with two outs. Second, and this might overlap a little bit, they're going to need some protection at the bottom of the order. As we've noted, Pence has success against Arroyo. Posey's on fire. We can expect him not to pitch the top half. So bottom half needs to get the hit with two outs.
Bell 2-for-3 and Blanco 1-for-5. So at least they've gotten enough at-bats, a few at-bats at least, against Arroyo. All right, who's your home run guy, Corey?
It's going to be Pence, probably first at-bat.
Pence first. All right, a lot of love for Pence tonight. All right, I like it. 12-for-35 with a couple. And he hit one really hard to right field last night. All right, appreciate it, Corey.
Yeah, I was there. Should have been out.
Yeah, all right. Thank you so much. JT, I said at the break, I wanted to ask you this question. You know, we're used to matchups. You know, the bullpen by committee, Bochy never has a bad matchup. Dusty the other way. Mm-hmm. You're my guy, Marshall. I don't care who's coming up in the seventh. Broxton, if you got to face five lefties in the eighth, you're my guy. And then Chapman in the ninth.
Right, and I think the reason Dusty does that is because he gives those guys a chance during the season, and I've never seen a manager give a guy a chance if he can't do the job. So he's given them those chances, and
good point.
The righty-lefty, you know, I think the whole righty-lefty matchup thing within the last, I mean, especially since when I came up, mid-90s, it took off. And I think the reason was because the media has such a big part. And if the manager doesn't make the move and it doesn't work out, then he's got 30 reporters, you know, in the interview room say, why don't you bring the lefty in against the lefty? And if he says, well, this righty can get him out, but still, you know, it's harder. So I think that's controlled a lot of it. They play the percentages. It's obviously harder to hit, you know, lefty on left or right on right. But Dusty's that kind of guy. He believes in these guys. And you know what that does for players and relievers is, they know the manager's got their back, and their confidence goes up, and they don't have to worry about looking over their shoulder and who's coming on deck. Here's the ball. You go get me three outs in the seventh. I don't care if it's three lefties and I got a righty. You know, guys do it. Starting pitchers do it all throughout the course of the game. They get lefties out, and they get righties out, and then we get into this log jam from, like, the sixth or seventh inning on, and the game drags. And so it'd be interesting to see if they put a rule in. Like, you can only make so many
trips,
pitching changes or something. Yeah. You know, you got a select number of, and then see how you use it. But I don't know. It's I think guys can get guys out, basically.
Well, what about, I think it could be a storyline as it goes on. I'll ask the question this way. If you got to face Broxton 4 days in a row, and you know what he throws, by the fourth day and you're a left-handed hitter, I think you got a good shot to know what's coming.
Absolutely. I think I have a good shot after probably one or two at-bats.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think that's a storyline in this series, if the Giants keep it going.
If you're constantly switching back and forth and you're getting a lefty and now a righty, and you know it's hard to – you're picking up different release points and different breaking pitches. But if I got that same guy, that's why you have to tip your hat and respect the closers in the games that come in the ninth inning and get guys out. They get any hitter out, right? And to do that over and over again, the Riveras, the Trevor Hoffmans, the Rob Nens when he was here, the Brian Wilsons, those guys are special. I mean, that's a tough job to do. Doesn't matter if they're lefty, righty, whatever. They got to get three outs. So, it could be a good storyline.
Yeah, I see it coming. I'm telling you, I see this coming. And it almost played out last night when he had Broxton in and Belt and Blanco. And Blanco, as you say, you know, didn't expand the zone. And it was, look, it's 95. It's not so simple. I don't tell you that. But Broxton was one base hit away from that game being a 3-3 game.
The other point is look at the ninth inning, how it kind of unraveled at top of the ninth for the Giants. All these runs are big. I don't care. You know, then they come back, and Chapman can't throw a strike in the bottom of the ninth. Now he's reeling. They had a great shot of him on TV after the ump called a close pitch a ball. They showed his eyes rolling, and he kind of looked over his shoulder to the outfield. And right then, as a player, you know, the umpire got under his skin a little bit.
Up in that goat farm.
Yeah, and now he can't throw a strike, and the rally starts. And so all these runs are big, you know, the pass ball, the one Posey set up inside for that curveball and goes off his glove.
What did happen?
I think he was just sitting. He was sitting inside, and the ball was supposed to go in, and it went away, and he went to reach for it. And I've seen a lot of – and Buster will tell you he should have caught that ball. I think he tried to frame it. If you watch it in slow-mo, you see his glove kind of turn – and that's where it goes off. He didn't keep his glove like this. He tried to frame it, and it went off the side of his glove to the backstop. But I've been watching all these playoff games, and I'm amazed that the number of passed balls. It happened today in the Tigers and A's game. Oh, there's balls going to the backstop all the time.
Tied the game up and then gave A's a lead, then Detroit tied it up.
It's I don't know if the catching's not as good or the pitchers are throwing so hard or the shadows or what, but there's a lot of balls going back to the backstop.
Wow. Well, it's what you said yesterday, and that is keep the game simple. Do what you do normally, and sometimes people try to overthrow it and do too much. Yeah. And that Joaquin Benoit, I thought of him today.
They want to throw that curveball slider harder, so they try and throw it harder, and it comes up a foot short. Now you put your catcher, and it's bouncing off the dirt, going to the backstop, and it happened to the A's today, too, with Kataris back there. He couldn't find the ball, and guys are running around the bases.
Yeah, so for Casilla, just stay within yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, stay within. Yep. That's one of his issues. He tends to overthrow it from time to time.
Yeah.
Stay within yourself.
George Brett had the classic line of, try easier. That's what he always said. If you get into a tough situation, just try easier, which means we all know you're trying, and you're giving your all, but just try a little easier because you're going to have a little adrenaline. You're going to be pumped up.
Right.
And allow your athletic ability to take over and work for you. It doesn't work when you're tight. It doesn't work.
Good point. Hey, let's go to Ben in San Francisco. Ben, 808 KMBR. You're on KMBR 680 on a gorgeous day. Isn't this gorgeous, folks?
You can't beat
out
it.
Out here?
Can't beat it.
And Bumgarner coming up and Bronson Arroyo. Yeah, we're getting ready. Go ahead, Ben.
Game 3 and game 4 starter for the Giants.
Say it again.
Who's the fourth starter?
Game 4. Who do you start?
Well, I would say Zito, but if they're down 2-1, and Kane did not get overextended last night, I would say they probably would go with Kane if they needed a win in that fourth game.
Really? That's interesting. I just don't know what to do with Vogelsong. You throw him out of the pen?
Vogelsong is going to pitch game 3, if I heard
we
you correctly.
Should re-announce that maybe for folks just turning on the radio.
Yeah, they've announced that Vogelsong. Pat, go ahead.
Andrew Baggerly of CSNBayArea.com and KNBR said that the Giants have announced that Vogelsong will start Tuesday, Game 3 in Cincinnati.
Okay.
All right, who's your home run guy, Ben?
Bumgarner.
Oh,
nice. I love that.
He can swing it.
That's a great pick.
He can swing it.
All right, fans, what do you think about that? Bumgarner like for the home run guy.
Go watch him take BP today. If you get a chance and the gates open early, go watch
his guy take batting
practice. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I told him the other day, I said, you're probably going to, at the end of your career, want to go to American League team so you can DH.
All right. Good. Thanks, Ben. All right.
Go, Giants.
All right. Nick on the 101.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Nick, 101, you're on KBR 680. Go ahead.
Hey, Marty. Hey, JT. How's it going?
Very good. Going good? Very good. JT's got to get to work, so let's make it quick and we'll let him sign a couple of things, but he's got to get in that clubhouse. Go ahead, Nick.
All right. First off, for the home run, I want to say Pablo, because I think he's way overdue for another one.
All right. You're down. We got you.
Yeah. And then I think we were talking last night about who should pitch game 3, and at first I was a little bit reluctant to say Vogie, but now I'm kind of seeing it. I think I'm going to call tonight. We're going to win tonight and then take the next two on the road because we do way better on the road than we do at home. I'd love to take the two titles at home if possible, but I don't know. We'll have to see how it turns out.
All right. No, and thank you, Nick. We got your pick, right, for the home run guy?
I did.
Sandoval. Yeah.
Was it Sandoval?
Gotcha.
Okay.
Thanks, Nick. I appreciate it. Have a safe trip down here. JT, this team does play better on the road. They're a different team.
They are. I think sometimes offensively they can relax a little because this is a tough park to day in and day out to grind out at bats, and it's cold, it's windy, the dimensions. And sometimes when you go on the road, you're freed up a little bit. And when you're at home, sometimes there's some distractions. You get, just because you're a ball player doesn't stop from kids waking up in the middle of the night and kids are sick and getting up in the morning and got to take the trash out, take the dog for a walk. You got to do all
these guys can afford a nanny or two.
The heck with the nanny. You got to do it yourself. And then when you go on the road, it's a little bit of a peace of mind. You get in a hotel by yourself. You don't have some of the distractions. Hopefully. Right. Yeah. So who knows? It's one of the crazy things about baseball, right? We could try and explain things for
Ball club hits better. Ballpark is intimidating at some point. Sure. You weren't intimidated here, though, were you?
I did not. This was not my favorite place to hit.
Okay.
I think it takes away a lot of for a left-handed hitter. I always said it turns doubles into outs and it turns home runs into doubles.
Okay.
I talked to Krook and Kipe one year when I was playing, and Kipe came down and said, I think this place probably took 8 to 10 home runs a year away from you. The balls you hit out to right center that are doubles or off the wall. I mean, the ball that Bruce hit last night, that ball was crushed.
Yes, it was.
I mean, it's I always tell people, you put it in, like, golf terminology. It's 309 down the line, but there's a 25-foot high wall.
Sure.
So, right? You got to hit it 334 all carry, just like in golf. You got to know if you're going over a lake or over a bunker. So you got to hit that all. You got to hit it 334 to get it down the line. You can't hit it 310. In a normal ballpark with an 8-foot fence, you can hit it, 310, 311, it's going to get out. But here it's not. And then you go all the way out to 365. That's a 390-foot shot to hit it out, which is tough in the gaps.
Yeah. No, you're right. So. In fact, they're bringing in the fences somewhere. I got to think about it. Didn't they?
Seattle.
That's right. Thank you. Yeah, Seattle, they're bringing in the fences because for what you just said.
Right. Yeah.
That gap shot.
They did that at Citi Field in New York, I believe, right? They brought those fences
in.
That's why Ken Griffey Jr. left. He didn't want to play at Safeco because of what was in right center.
They did it in Detroit when Juan Gonzalez was there, too. He played in Detroit as a big free agent. And he didn't hit any home runs, and they brought him in Detroit. So they're not going to bring him in here. But,
No, it's a real legitimate factor.
Yeah.
Boy, JT Snow,
thanks,
great.
JT.
Isn't it great, man? Boy, man,
thanks,
you're terrific. Terrific. It's just such good baseball. We learned so much from JT. One of the great Giants of all time, fans. Really.
I want to compliment JT, too, on Friday with Bob Fitzgerald. He was telling a story about pinch hitting and getting an inning or two to warm up for that at-bat and how it worked out. I was just going around the city on the Muni just enjoying the hell out of that story.
Stuff. That was Ron Wotus coming to me and giving you, as a player, you want to know, you want a heads up. You don't want the manager to come down and say, hey, you're hitting next, because then you start scrambling. But the inning before, he said, you're going to be hitting fifth if it comes up. So I was in the cage hitting off the machine, and sure enough, it came up, and I was ready to go. So.
And how'd that work out for you?
A little three-run homer.
And very nice. Three-run homer against the Mets. One of the big ones ever.
We would have won that game. That was,
right, I know.
And it happened so fast. We went out the next inning, they scored, and it was short-lived.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let Wotus know we're pumping him up.
I will. I'll go in there and tell
JT, thanks so much.
Thanks,
JT Snow.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, man.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you. All right.